All right, back with you from the kitchen table with you here on this Monday, following a long weekend. I'm Darren Smith. We take you till 3 p.m. Had interaction on Twitter with former NFL guy, I want to say it is, who says, well, what would be the benefit to welcoming an NFL team here, even if only on a temporary situation? And I would think that the hospitality industry, the hotels, the restaurants, thinking about hundreds of rooms over several weeks, thousands of meals, would probably be pretty welcome for a lot of local businesses. Probably enough to justify welcoming this league back into town. I'll leave that up to all of you. For me, I would say yes during a pandemic. Normal circumstances, maybe you tell them to go kick rocks. Let's say hello to Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief, CEO, Voice of San Diego, who joins us on Extra 1360. Hello, Scott. How are you?
Hey, Darren. I'm well. Thank you. A little sore. I had to start for the Broncos this week. A quarterback. I don't know if you heard about that story. They didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
No.
Well, there's two NFL
I'm good,
stories.
I'm recovering from Thanksgiving. The most strenuous thing I did was eat too many mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. It took me a day or two to recover on that front. Scott, I'm probably going to blindside you on this, but I'll ask it anyway. There was a story in USA Today yesterday about the 49ers who cannot play or practice or be headquartered currently in Santa Clara, California, making their way down to San Diego. Now, the idea was laughable that they would play at SDCCU Stadium since it's currently a construction site. But the owner of the 49ers just within the last hour said he wanted to thank the San Diego's mayor's office for giving him an opportunity or an option of coming down here in some capacity. Might you have any insight or intel or thoughts on that?
No, I don't. But, you know, I think it's a classic move. Look, the mayor has been in, like, a scramble to get something done before he's out. Just anything. And, you know, he's going to look back at his time and losing the Chargers is going to be a big point of his experience here. He tried so hard. He endorsed so many plans. You know, he did all these things for so many years to try to keep them, and he didn't get them. And to reach out like that, I'm sure he wanted to see some short-term benefits of that. But he also just wants to get something done. This is like a mad scramble over these last few weeks to watch him try to add whatever he can to his legacy and just kind of renew any kind of enthusiasm for what he was able to achieve here. And that's definitely part of that. I didn't understand it when I heard that, because they're literally tearing things up inside the stadium from what I understand. So I don't know what they were thinking they were going to do. Maybe, they clearly wanted to give a shot in the arm to something happening here. He is also really excited to sort of put into relief how different San Diego is from maybe Northern California experiences. Yep. And stuff. And I think that was probably part of it as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I'm listening to you, that's exactly what popped into my mind, that so much of what the mayor for San Diego has done over the last couple of weeks, especially on social media, where we're seeing a level of aggressiveness from him that we haven't seen in all of the time, all of the years that he's been the mayor here in San Diego. He's showing his teeth more so than he ever has. I think you're right. When the owner of the 49ers says, I also want to thank SD Mayor's office for reaching out to see if San Diego could help the 49ers during our search for a home, while we wish we can keep players close and blah, 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 blah. I think part of this, cynically, perhaps, Scott, is that this is yet more paving the road to Kevin Faulkner announcing that he's running for governor and making the message loud and clear up in Northern California that he's there to help everybody.
Yeah, I think that his positioning right now is more about keeping the option open, you know, keeping a platform ready. He's just been slamming the governor, who you know really did his own part in making himself look bad recently, and he's jumped all over him on struggling small businesses, on all of these dinners and such. He's really trying to leave that avenue open. But again, when you look back at everything he tried to do here over the last, we're doing some researching right now, over the last 6 years since he started as mayor in 2014, you know, all these things that he wanted to do, build a new convention center, build a transitional facility for homelessness, get the Chargers a place to stay, redo Balboa Park. The list is extraordinary. All of them failed. And so then you go and you ask, well, then his whole argument is that, well, I was a good manager of the city. Well, the morale of the city is way down. You know, they botched a bunch of real estate deals, really kind of putting into perspective that maybe he wasn't the best manager on some of at least those things. And so I think that all of this now is sort of establishing a narrative that he has been different than other California cities, that San Diego has a better homelessness, influence over the last little while. Never mind, of course, that there's just horrifying poverty on display in the streets every day, and it seems like getting worse. And so I think that he's doing everything he can to change that story right now and leave at least an opening for him to run for governor, and if it all falls into place.
Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief, CEO, Voice of San Diego, joining us on Extra 1360. Scott, people might have missed it over the weekend, over the long break. While I hope everybody had a chance to charge their batteries and relax in some capacity, but man, these numbers, these numbers that have come out, we have set several records here over the last couple of weeks. Where do we find ourselves on this Monday afternoon here as a county?
Every time that the graphs come in, the very first thing I do is scroll to the hospitalizations. I've talked about this before. They were in the 200s for a while. Then we had that summer surge that was really scary. I had a friend that was in the hospital for it. This was just a bad experience around July. We got up to 509 hospitalizations in July. We just topped that again after months and months of in the 200s, 230, 260, just literally doubled now, almost, more than doubled that. We've got about 519. We haven't seen the update yet from this last couple of days, and I'm sure it's not good. And then all the people that, may have contracted it over this week, they're going to start showing up in hospitals in the next week or so. And so we could be starting to see 600, 700 people in the hospital and reach that point of where it crosses that line of where they've literally set aside the beds for ICUs for this disease, and we've hit the limit on that. And so I think that this is going to be a really gnarly couple of weeks with the hospitalizations more than doubling since that low point. And that means, there's 509 people. I always think this is the bigger number in many ways than deaths or than cases, because these are the people, this is the real thing we've been trying to avoid, not just death. Obviously, we want to avoid death, but the sort of overcrowding and overburdening of the healthcare system. And so when there's 500 people suffering from the same virus in the hospital right now, and that could double again, then we're really, that's what we wanted to avoid, and I think we're careening right toward it.
Unfortunately, a lot of these numbers suggest that that's exactly the trajectory of what's happening here in San Diego County. Scott, I had a question for you. I don't know how much time you spent personally, professionally looking into this, and I grant everybody listening that Scott is not an epidemiologist. Neither am I. This is our first pandemic. But I might be looking for a COVID test in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, and I'll just keep that to myself. And as I started looking at it, I was pleasantly surprised to find out that right down the road at a CVS, right down the road at a Walgreens, I can go and I can get tested. But there are different types of tests available for the general public. There's a diagnostic lab test, result 72 hours, rapid diagnostic test, ID now, rapid antigen test, Binax, B-I-N-A-X now, where you get your results in as little as an hour. Now, these range in price from $129 to $49. Do you have any knowledge as to what the difference is? Because I'm imagining, like, I can Google all this sort of stuff, and I've got resources. I got Jack Cronin. I can just ask Jack Cronin. Jack knows everything. But for the person who's out there who's listening, who's thinking, well, I might have a trip. I might be doing something over for Christmas, or I might be getting on an airplane at some point, or a business meet, or whatever. Whatever the reason is, do you know what the differences are? Like, what would you do if you were looking for one of these tests? Do you know which one you would go with? And do you advise or recommend for anybody out there who's listening what the differences are between these three options?
I've been getting a lot better in my advanced, in my 40s now, at admitting when I don't know something. And I actually, I'm not going to try to explain that. So but you've given me a push. I do know a couple of people I can talk to right away. Maybe I can be a little bit better prepared. Jack can probably text you right now all the different things. but I do know that they are recommending that if you traveled or got together with people this last weekend, that you should just assume that you have it, and you should be very liberal about going to get a test. That you know, don't self-negotiate like, maybe I don't need it, maybe it's too long. Go get it. They're back to where they're more liberal about giving the tests. There was a little period there for a while where they got short again, and I know that they're back to being more loose with it. So I'll go back and do some studying there, but I don't want to pretend like I know something that important right now.
Sure. And, you know, again, like I said, I think a lot of us have the opportunity to spend an hour just Googling this sort of stuff. And, you know, one has 94%, one has 98%. And you say, well, it all sounds pretty good to me. But, you know, if in fact you've traveled this past weekend, or if you're coming back from college, which I know San Diego State encouraged students not to travel, like, don't do it. Yeah. But if you do need a test, or if you really desire a test, you go to one of these websites like Walgreens. I'm on the Walgreens website right now, and it offers you three different types. And you just sort of go, well, I don't know what I'm asking for here. Even as somebody who talks about this stuff for an hour every single day, Scott, I find myself somewhat at a loss in terms of knowing exactly what it would be that I would ask for if I went to Walgreens looking for a COVID test.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something there. I do know there's some really great places you don't need an appointment right now. You do need to check in with, but the Tubman Center, I know. And then a really great resource for people who aren't sure about some of this stuff is to call 211. If you don't know anything about healthcare, about, let's say you can't pay your bills with electricity or anything like that, I don't know what to do right now with my life. There's something wrong and I don't know how to deal with it. 211 is an excellent resource. Call that. They'll at least be able to tell you who you should call after that. Let's say you need to get health care, you lost your job, you don't have any money, you need to get some, subsidized health care. Call that number. They'll start you off that process. Those are the folks that can at least help you direct where you should go get a test. I know that we got tested with the county and it went really well, got one day back. The county is averaging, you know, like 1 or 2 days getting back, and I think that's good. But I don't know the specifics of those different tests, so good luck, and I'll look forward to your update on Extra 1360.
Yeah, well, that'll be a COGO conversation with Jack coming up. Because like I said, Jack will definitely be on that. I don't know the difference between all of these. But, you know, you could feel for the person who's like, well, I feel like I need a test. I traveled or I was exposed.
Yeah.
And somebody who is working with a budget who just looks and goes, well, it's $49 and I get it back in an hour. Why wouldn't I do that as opposed to the $129 one where I get it back in 3 days?
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I don't know. I can't explain it. Sorry, man.
No, all good. Like I said, well, if you and I can't, then I would think that a lot of people are probably in a similar situation. Yeah. Hey, man, appreciate it. Thank you, buddy. Thank you for the time. We'll talk to you soon. You got it. Scott Lewis, editor-in-chief and CEO, Voice of San Diego, stopping by here. Because, you know, I at some point here in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get one. And I'm sitting searching and going, well, I don't know which one I would ask for if I went to Walgreens or if I went to CVS, places that are making this available. What am I signing up for here exactly? And again, like I said, a simple Google search, okay, but even the Google search, it's not like it spells it out in easy to understand black and white language where you go, oh, okay, yeah, that one definitely. That one definitely.